Let's go ahead and take your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14. Mark, chapter number 14. I hope that's your prayer also this morning, that you would be closer to Jesus. And hopefully that's your prayer each and every single day, is that you would be closer to him than you were the day before. I know we've been going back and forth between Sunday school and Sunday morning on our series. This morning we looked once again about furthering the gospel, and we talked about the gospel is furthered when Jesus Christ is preached in Sunday school class. And we looked in Acts chapter number 2, and we saw how Peter preaches the first recorded sermon since the filling of the Holy Spirit, obviously, but also the first recorded sermon since the beginning of after Christ's resurrection, at least by man. And so when we look at that, it's we need to preach Jesus Christ. And that's Sunday school class. I hope you get a chance to listen to that if you were not here, because our church interest is how to further the gospel. And we learned about how to do it personally and to share what we learned, how Luke did that with Theopolis in Acts chapter number 1. And then last week we learned about in chapter number 2 about how a unified church is one that furthers the gospel. This week we learned about the preaching of Christ furthers the gospel. But just like last week, we stopped doing it on the Sunday morning because we wanted to talk about Judas. This week, we're going to look specifically about one Bible character, and it's Peter. And I don't know about you, but has there ever been a time in your life where you did something that you thought you'd never do? Now, let's kind of clarify it a little bit, because I know sometimes people, I always said that I would never eat sushi. And my two sons, they go off to college and they corrupt them and they teach them how to eat sushi and they like, and they said, it's great, it's wonderful. I said, no, I'll never ever do that. But now I actually enjoy sushi. I only eat the cooked stuff, not the raw stuff. And there is differences. I know some people would think, ew, that's disgusting, it's all raw fish. They have different choices. And so I eat the sushi rolls that are cooked, and I enjoy that. That's something I said I'd never do, and I tried and experienced it. But what I'm looking for this morning, it's like Peter here, and kind of give you a little context, said he would never deny Christ. Never, ever would he do that. Even said, I'll go to prison with you, I'll die for you, all those things. But we see in this passage of Scripture, he's doing something he never thought he would do. So the heart of the message is today, are you in a place or maybe doing things that you thought you would never do on the bad side of things? You know, sin takes us farther than we want to go. It costs us more than we want to pay. We remember those old analogies, those old illustrations, sayings, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. You know, here, because of Peter's sin, it brought him to a spot where he could have never imagined he was at. I'm actually denying Christ, not just once, not twice, but three times. Denying Christ. He thought he would never even deny him once, but he denied him three times. And sometimes in our spiritual lives, we turn around and maybe we've gone not closer to Jesus. We've gone the wrong direction. We get farther and farther away from Jesus. And then we turn around, we look around someday and we see, how did I ever get here? When was the day when I stopped loving my reading my Bible? When was the day when I stopped praying without ceasing? When was the day when I started feeling comfortable about sharing the gospel? When was the day when I stopped going to Sunday school or stopped making church a priority? And it comes to a spot in a moment in time, I would never, ever do that sin. And then you see yourself dabbling with it. And that the reality is, when we allow sin into our hearts and lives and we don't watch and pray like Jesus had told Peter about a month or two ago when we looked at it, we go the wrong direction. We start going the wrong way. And we end up in a spot that we never thought we would be. Peter said, no way in this world I would ever be in this spot. And he is exactly right where he said he would never be at. And I believe many times in a church on a Sunday morning, sometimes when we hear the preaching and teaching, we're thinking, I never thought I'd be here spiritually. I never thought it'd be this bad. I never thought I'd grow this cold or this indifferent to the things of God. So this morning, what I like to do is kind of take a look, step back view, and look at what brought Peter to this spot. There's definitely some different things he did in the Scriptures, and this is a series through Mark, and we're, once again, it's taking a while because it's filled with so much good stuff. But what brought him to this point that he did what he thought he would never do? Now, let me characterize a couple of things. First, you know, sometimes Bible characters are easy to pick on. Peter's probably the number one guy that everybody says, man, that's easy to pick on. But I'm not trying to pick on Peter. And in the end, you're going to see that God uses Peter in a special way. I'm trying to get our hearts to a spot. If we're at a spot where we're not loving him as much as we used to, that we've backslidden a little bit, that let's get our heart right. Let's do these things. Let's get these things right. We all have faults. And even as with the faults that we have and the shortcomings we have, God can use us. And I'm not picking because I know anybody's spiritual realm or spiritual maturity, but Peter was used by God in some really special ways, even though he messed up. I mean, to follow Christ with those 3 years, to be put to death, you know, saying I'm not going to be crucified the same way and was hung, crucified upside down. I mean, he was truly a servant of God, probably more than any of us would ever even dream of being. But God uses broken people. God uses people who, yes, have a past, but God has gotten them right. And yes, we may fail God at times, but God will never fail us. So let's look at the events that led up to this denial. And I'm not trying to justify it all, but can you imagine what Peter was going through around that fire? He should have never been there. Yes, he should have never been there. But he has just had Jesus look at him and said, you're going to deny me. Someone's going to betray me. I'm leaving and you cannot come. This was his Messiah. This is what he had been living for. And he had just watched that. He had just watched himself in the garden try to cut somebody's head off and Jesus heal with the ear. He had just fallen asleep when Jesus asked him simply to just watch and pray with him. The emotions and not knowing what the future was going to look like. And he's sitting around a group of people that are getting ready to crucify Jesus. I mean, he has a lot of things that are happening and going on in his heart and his life. And because he's around the wrong people, he ends up denying him. So today, let's look at a few things that brought Peter to that spot. It didn't happen overnight. He didn't turn around and say, well, maybe I guess it kind of did happen overnight, but he didn't turn around and be saying, I'm never going to deny you to the point I deny Christ. There were some steps that he took. And I want to encourage you, maybe you're on some of these steps right now to stop and to turn back and to believe and trust and what God can do in a person's life. Now, we know this is John Mark writing. We believe John Mark's probably a protege of Simon Peter. Mark is pinning the words, maybe as Peter's saying them or just as he's heard, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but also listening to Peter's account. It's an amazing account of the betrayal of Judas and denial of Peter. But let's look at the progression. I guess we can call it progression or we can call it a digression. That led to Peter's denial. First thing I want you to go back, and we're going to be verses 53 and 54 is where we're at in our study, but we're going to go back and look at a couple things real quick to remind you. First, let's go back to verse 27, chapter 14, verse number 27. So the Lord Jesus has just instituted the Lord's Supper, and they sung a hymn and went out into the night. And it says in verse 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. And anywise, likewise, also said they all. So the first thing I want you to see, he rejects the idea of denying Christ. He rejects the idea of denying Christ. But more importantly, he rejects the warning that Christ was giving him. Christ was telling him, hey, look, I want you to understand that you are all going to forsake me, that you're all going to leave me. And he's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. And Jesus had to say, you're going to deny me, Peter. And Peter's like, I will never, ever deny you. I want to encourage you. And once again, these are past things that we looked at. But I want you to see the digression here, the progression to where he's get to the spot. Ignoring God's word, ignoring God's warnings. You know what that's going to do? It's going to put you on a bad path. when you sit there and you hear clearly, Jesus looks at him and says that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He should have fell on his knees and said, I never want to deny you, Lord. What in the world do I need to do to make sure I'm not going to deny you? But when we hear warnings that God gives us, that his word gives us, sometimes we just ignore it. And that's what puts us on this digression to the point that we do something that we never, ever thought we would. The Bible tells us to be on guard. The Bible tells us to be vigilant. The Bible tells us to watch and pray. And when we think that and we hear that, we think, oh, the preacher's just being too serious. It's not that big of a deal. I can deal with a little bit of sin. I can deal with a little problems. When we ignore God's commandments, it puts us on a path that's going to cause us to do things that we never, ever thought was possible. Not only does he do that, look at verses 37 and 38. Verses 37 and 38, we remember the story that Jesus is asking the disciples to watch with them and pray with him and watch and pray. And look what it says in verse 37, he cometh and findeth them sleeping. Jesus has asked, he's exceeding sorrowful in verse 34. He asked them to tarry ye here and watch. In verse 37, they come, they findeth them sleeping. And he asked Peter this, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So once again, it's another warning. He says, over here, if you ignore Christ's warnings, you're going to be headed that way. When you learn to stop watching and praying, stop being serious about your Christian walk, you're heading down that path. And we've looked at these things here recently, but verses 53 and 54, we see how it even continues further. Look what it says in verse 53 and verse 54. At this point in time, Jesus has been taken. He has been led. He has gone to be assembled with the mock trial. Verse 53, they led Jesus away to the high priest. He has been taken in the garden. He's been betrayed. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now, it's that phrase. If you're taking notes, he follows afar off. The progression went from ignoring God's command, not taking your Christian walk seriously, to the point where you begin to follow Jesus afar off. What do you mean? It means I'm not as close to him as I used to be. I'm satisfied with being at a distance. And it's interesting, the only other apostle we know that's here is John. He went inside. Peter's the one there. He's interested. He's interested in what's going on, but he's not as close as he should be. And I think that's the description of many Christians today. They come to church, I'm interested about what's going on in this world. I'm interested about what the Bible has to say, but I don't want to make the commitment to get too close. It might cost me too much. It might hurt me too much. So we follow him afar off. And that's what I'm asking you this morning. Are you in that progression? Have you gotten to a point where there's some of God's commands that you're saying, you know what, that's not that big of a deal. I would never do that. And instead of watching and praying, because Jesus says, you will do that. You can do that. He says, you need to watch and pray because your flesh, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. You get to the spot that you begin to follow him because you got something in your heart. You got something in your life. You're following him a little bit farther. You're not as close as you used to be. You don't love him like you used to. Your prayer life's not like what it used to. The faithfulness of church is not like it used to. And when the reading the Bible doesn't come across like it used to, and you don't have God speaking to your heart, Peter does something he never thought he would do. I doubt any serious-minded believer would say, you know what? I am exactly where I want to be in my Christian walk. Most of us are saying, I want to be closer. I want to be closer. I want to be closer. And I'm interested today in understanding, are you as close to God as you desire to be? You're as close to God as you want to be today. Because the Bible says, if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. You know, we are actually as close to God as we are wanting to be today. But is it exactly where you think you should be? And Pastor, of course I want to be closer to the Lord. Don't follow him afar off. Like I said, I think some people, maybe even here today, probably more than one, is sitting in this pew and they're thinking in their heart and mind, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I struggle with this sin, this addiction. I never thought that I would act like this. I never thought that my Christian life would be like this. And we're overwhelmed and we're wondering what in the world is wrong. What in the world is causing this? And it's just like Peter, verses earlier, I'll never, ever do that. But he ignored what the Bible was saying. He ignored taking it seriously and watching and praying. And now instead of being close, he's happy with keeping God at arm's length. He's happy being keeping Christ at arm's length. Are you following afar off this morning? Is there not something in your heart that registers that says, I want more, I want to be closer? I want that relationship to be something that yearns and burns, that what comes to my heart and mind first is Jesus. Because Peter had that at times. Peter was the one that was willing to say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was the one that was willing to stand up and do things unlike anything any of us would. But even this inner circle disciple, like Peter, he was following afar off. This is a step in the wrong direction. And we need to be careful. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I just don't have as much time. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. No. Following Christ afar off, following Jesus afar off, following after God afar off, that's going to put you on a straight path to being to a place that you never, ever wanted to be. Next thing I want you to think about is not only following a place that was far off, he's around the wrong people. He's around the wrong people. Look what it says in verses 66 and 67. And the verses that we're skipping over is talking about the mock trial, and we're going to look at those at some point in time in our study. But verses 66 and 67, we're focusing on Peter. He's around the wrong people. So not only is he not near Christ, he's also near the ungodly. Once again, if you're following Christ afar off, you know what you're around? You're around people that are also following Christ far off. Because if you're following Christ afar off, you know what? You're going to be drawn to people that are following afar off, because you're not going to be able to stand around those people who love the Lord and want to talk about the Lord. He's doing something in his conscience. He's doing something that is harming his conscience. He's getting nearer and nearer to the evil that he thought he'd never do. He is sitting in the midst of the people who are getting ready to crucify his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. The Bible even says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And we're living in a day where people want to get as close to sin as they can, where the Bible says you're supposed to flee away from it. You're not supposed to be around it. It says, look, the person that's blessed is the person that's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, not standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of the scornful. But at the same time, what Peter is doing is, he's getting used to the darkness. I think it was Vance Havner that maybe preached a message, getting used to the darkness. And they've gotten so used to the sin and become so familiar to us, it doesn't even seem like it's wrong, but it's just the fact that you got used to it. He talked about sitting in a restaurant. I remember hearing it, sitting in a restaurant, and it was really, really dark to begin with. And he sat there, and the waiter or waitress came up. I don't know if I'm remembering exactly right, but the waiter or waitress came up and says, it's so dark in here, I can't even see the menu. And the waiter said, don't worry, you'll get used to it. And the reality is, the sin that is in our hearts, in our lives, we get so used to it that it doesn't even bother us anymore. And we get to the spot that we end up doing something we never, ever thought we would do. We get to a place where we never thought we would be. And as Peter was saying just hours earlier, I'll never deny you, because he's around the wrong people. That's what he ends up doing. Peter needed to be around people who were going to encourage him in his faith. They don't want a person who's following afar off, doesn't want to have somebody, hey, we're missing you at church. Hey, let's talk about the Bible. Hey, I noticed that the things that you're doing really doesn't seem like they line up. You're being a bad testimony. Is there something I can help you with? You know, they don't want to hear people like that. They don't want to see. They want to follow afar off. And that's what they need, to be around someone who loves God. They need to be around someone who cares about God. They need around somebody that says, hey, Peter, I know you're going through a lot. Let me pray for you. Hey, Peter, let me do what I can to encourage and help the person that's struggling. But Peter, instead of being around any of the other disciples, instead of being near wherever John was at, he's there amongst the people that are getting ready to crucify Jesus. Remember this. If you're around the wrong group of people, and don't get me wrong, he must be going through torment in his mind, the unbelief, the amazement, the hurt of all the things that had just happened in his life. And sometimes when you're hurting, don't push people away that love God. Don't push people away that care for you. Don't push people away who want to live for the Lord and want to stay close to Jesus. Get to him, run to him, run to Jesus, but run to those that you know love him too. Don't be around the wrong people in the hard times. Run to Jesus. Run to those that will help you get to Jesus. I believe that it started a way back when Jesus said, this is a reality. And Peter said, no way I'll ever do that sin. Jesus says, you better pay attention, because if you don't watch and pray, that's what's going to happen. Not going to happen. Then he starts following afar off. Then he begins to be in the wrong spot around the wrong people. We see the trend that's happening. And then you see in verses 68 through 72, he actually begins to deny him. Actually, let's go back to verse 66. As Peter was beneath in the palace, I know I said these verses, but we never read them. As Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went into the palace, into the porch, and the cock crew. So here in verses 68 through 72, you're going to see he denies him more than once. Here's a couple of things. When I read this, verse 68 kind of stands out a little bit. The little maid, the girl, turns around and says, thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. And what's Peter's response? Now, remember, Peter, the guy who had a sword, was willing to try to fight a large group of soldiers and men, is turned because one girl asked him. But he says in verse 68, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. What's the big deal about that? He's lying. He knows exactly what the girl's asking. And he tries to make up an excuse. Oh, excuses are bad. We try to justify it. Oh, I just don't understand what you're asking. He knew exactly what it was. But that's where it's getting at. When you're there, you're around people, you're trying to make up the excuse where, hey, I just don't understand what you're saying. But the Holy Spirit of God is saying, hey, this is what I'm saying. This is what needs to change. Don't go this way. Don't do this. Stop. Come to yourself. You're going to a place you don't want to go. You're doing things you don't want to do. You're dabbling in things that you don't want to be a part of. Then I also see here, it says the cock crew in verse 68. It says it crew the first time after denying it. Do we remember what Jesus had forewarned Peter? He says, you're going to deny me thrice. Before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me thrice. The first time it crew, don't you think that should have just, wait, I hear the cock. This is what Jesus told me I'm going to do. I'm denying him right now. And sometimes we just ignore what God's trying to say to us. Stop. Don't do it. Stop. Listen to it. Change. And we just ignore it. We just keep on going. And we end up doing something we never thought we would. There's people that are out of church today because they didn't hear the warnings. There's people who committed heinous sins that were believers at different times. And they did something that was wrong they never thought they were going to do. What happened? They ignored the warning. Peter's lying here. He's living the life of a hypocrite. The young maid that he was scared of. Remember, sin is always taking you in the wrong direction. You continue on and you see here that it says in verse 69, and the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. So someone sees it, and first time they approach Peter, second time they say to everybody, hey, look, this guy's one of them. Verse 70, and he denied it again. A little after that, they that stood by said it again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom that ye speak. He begins to use filthy language, not just denying Christ. He begins to use filthy language to try to make his point. Sometimes when people go so far, I think all they're trying to do is dumb down their own conscience. If they can just go so far and they're experiencing and they're doing something that they're trying to just drown out what the Holy Spirit is saying to their heart. I know not this man. And the cock crows a second time. And then I want you to see he weeps. Look what it says in verse 72. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I think this is beautiful. He comes to a spot, he sees and he experiences what he's doing, and then he hears that cock the second time, and he thinks about it. He comes to himself. It reminds me of the prodigal son sitting in that hog pen. Said he came to himself, and he changed. He says, I need to go back to my father. He hears this, and he weeps. His heart isn't so hard that it doesn't affect him. And I think it's in Luke that says that he sees Jesus, and Jesus, their eyes meet. And he goes out and he weeps bitterly. He understands what, he's at a spot where he says, I just don't want to be here anymore. Have you ever gotten there? Is that a spot where you're at today? Just don't want to be here anymore. Not talking about taking your life. I'm talking about spiritually. You've gone so cold and so indifferent. It's not like it used to be. The love is not as strong. The desire is not as strong. The want for service. You've just done things that you never, ever, you've always committed to God. God, I'll always be faithful. God, I'll always witness. God, I'll never miss church. I'll read your word. God, I'm going to do this. God, I'm sold out. Lord, whatever you want. And now it's just got to the point that you're dragging yourself through and you're like, you're a part of something that just, you're doing things and you're dabbling with things you never thought you would. Let it affect you. You can listen to a message like this. You can hear the cock crow once, just ignore it. Or it can come something that it's the response that Peter has. You can do something about it. Stop where you're at. Come to yourself. Allow God to break your heart over your sin. Look, take account. Look inside yourself. Did you ever think you would act like this? Did you ever think that you would continue to think on those thoughts? Did you ever think these relationships would be so hard and so bad? The amazing thing about this story is this is not the end of Peter. Last week, we talked about Judas. He went to his own place. He never got it right. He never confessed it to the Lord and repented of it. He was sorrowful for the response that happened with Jesus, but I don't believe that he truly ever got it right with God. But in Peter, what do we see? We see a man who was used by God. A man that even though his life was broken, God uses broken people. Jesus cares about Peter. Jesus even sends a personal, after he raises, is risen from the dead, he sends a personal message to Peter, sees Peter individually, calls him back into ministry. He does all those things. And like we read about this morning in Sunday school, Acts chapter number 2, he is the guy that's leading, that's preaching. And over, it says 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Praise the Lord, because God was using him now. But you had never thought that sitting there around that fire, not only denying him once, denying him twice, but cursing, doing whatever he could to make the whole world to think, I'm not a follower of Jesus. And that's what he was trying to do with all that language. They might be able to recognize his accent, but if there's no way a follower of God would act like that. I think that sometimes we get into a spot where when we're following afar off, we get around the wrong people. And let me say this in a careful way. Sometimes the wrong people could even be in the church house. If you have people that are just not loving the Lord and trying to draw other people away, you're going to be around somebody else that is just not, they're trying to follow them afar off. Oh, you don't got to be committed. You don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. There are people, if they're trying to follow people, that's not the people you want to spit. That's not the people you want to let influence in you. Of course you want to influence them. Of course you want to pray for them, obviously. Can we not say, Lord, deliver me from whatever it is that we're struggling with? If there was hope for Peter, surely there's hope for us. If Jesus was merciful to Peter, Jesus was merciful to us also. Jesus was willing to do all these things. Think about the rest of the story. The story doesn't end there for Jesus Christ. He rises again from the dead, sitting on the right hand of the Father. The story doesn't end for Peter. Judas walked away, never got right. Peter got right with the Lord, and God used him. You can have a new beginning today. You can. It doesn't have to be like this. So you say, Pastor, this message just kind of gets gone over my head because I'm right with the Lord. I have a passion for God and I love the Lord and I want to serve him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. Then you're the people that we need praying for other people today that are struggling, because there's some of us that struggle. There's some of us that aren't where we should be. And before we get to a spot, he said, Pastor, I'm not denying Christ. Are you ignoring some of his commands? Are you getting to a point that you're not being serious and watching and praying? Have you felt comfortable being on the outskirts, just following afar off? Do you have no problem being around others that are not interested in serving God and listening to others? Because it, like I said in Psalms 1, it starts by standing and then walking, then standing, then sitting. It's coming. I'll never do that. And then you end up doing that exact same thing. It's because they didn't take it serious. They ignored the warnings. And not only did they ignore the warnings, they stopped being diligent and persistent and vigilant till they felt comfortable following afar off. They got around some people that did not make them feel bad about following afar off. And you end up doing the thing that you never, ever thought you would do. But we see Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching about Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. So there's hope for us today. But what was the difference between Peter and Judas? Peter came to himself. Yes, Peter was one that truly believed it was the Messiah and trusted in him. I don't think Judas ever did. But Peter understood what he did. He was sorrowful for what he did. And it took him a little while before he got it all the way worked out. There's a lot of guilt when it comes to our sin. The devil offers you a lot of different guilt. And you can't do this, you can't do that, all those different things. That's the devil. You know, get him to shut his mouth. You don't have to listen to him. I talked about in children's church this morning about the Gibeonites, how they deceived Israel and Joshua, and that how they were deceptive and how the devil's deceptive. And he's trying to get you to do whatever he can to stop. Don't believe his lies. Don't believe his lies. Are you someplace where you're not supposed to be spiritually today? I would tell you that if you're not close to Jesus, you're going the wrong direction. If you're not following him and you're not passionate about him, if you're not as close to him as you had been at some point in time in your life, you've fallen back some way, you're not going the right direction. Now, sometimes it is a work, and sometimes it is learning and understanding, repenting, getting it right, being passionate about him once again. You see from this story, you see him doing it, and then Jesus still having to go to Peter, and then Jesus sending that message, and then Jesus still dealing with Peter at the... Some of us are stubborn, some of us are hard-headed, but we got to get to this point of realization, I don't want to be where I am right now. I'm tired of doing the things that I never thought I would do. And I want to change that. Then start doing some of these things. Number one, listen to the warnings. The cock crew once, he ignored it. Stop ignoring the warnings. Watch and pray. Never be satisfied with following afar off. Whatever is going to take you to get to Jesus, as we heard the song sung before the sermon, closer to Jesus, that's where I want to be. Nothing's going to stop me from getting there. Don't be comfortable around people who do not want to be close to Jesus, no matter where they're at. Once again, I know we have family we want to reach, and we have the community we want to reach, and people in our church where we're struggling. We looked at that last week on Sunday night with Ruth being a blessing to Naomi and how she was a blessing to the person that was struggling. Ruth very easily could have just jumped in there and been bitter with Naomi if she wanted to, but she didn't. And you do not have to be bitter, and you do not have to be in the spot where everybody else is. You can stand for right. You can stand for truth. You can do those things and lead a life that is holy. Where has holy living gone? It's gone by the wayside because a lot of us just want to follow them afar off. We're interested. I think he's there because he's interested in what's going to happen to Jesus. Pastor, I'm going through a lot. Don't be around the wrong crowd then if you're going through a lot. Get somebody who's going to encourage you to do what's right. Don't be around those that are going to say, hey, you're one of them. And then say, no, I'm not. So go back to the original question. Is there something in your life that you're doing today that you never thought you would do? And I'm not talking about jumping out of airplanes or whatever it is. I'm talking about spiritually. You never thought you would go this far. It would slide this fast. And you're looking around now, taking inventory in stock and says, I never thought I would ever do that. Get it right today. Come to yourself. Now, before we go, I do want to say I believe Peter is a believer here. There is even a greater concern there for those who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. That Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins of mankind. He rose again, and that he gives us a way of eternal life if we will believe and trust in him. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never saw yourself as a sinner and been convicted of your sin, Peter was convicted of his sin and he got it right. But if you've never been convicted of your sin and understood that you were lost and turned to God, that's something you can even do this morning. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. And I've heard many of your testimonies before. I know most people in this room would profess to be saved. Like last week with Judas, he professed to be a part, but he did not belong to Jesus Christ. But here, Peter, we see a guy that was going to be used by God and amazing. He wrote books of the Bible. I mean, he did amazing things for God. He was broken. He failed God, but God never failed him. Don't stay where you're at today. Remember what we learned in Sunday school. Preaching is revelation. We read the word of God. Explanation. We taught what it said. Here's the application. Does this apply to my life? Ask yourself, make it eternal. Is this something I need to work on? Let's pray.